Hello and welcome everyone to this podcast series on the ACG monograph on GI diseases and endoscopy in pregnancy and postpartum period. I'm Shivangi Kothari from the University of Rochester, and I was the woman in GI committee chair for the American College of Gastroenterology when we undertook this task for updating the ACG monograph. And this series of podcasts will go over each chapter and details of what these each chapter and the updates that they provide for current best practice approaches and guideline-based recommendations in the treatment of various GI liver disorders and endoscopic practice in the pregnancy and postpartum period.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Manavi Bagwa, and I have with me Dr. Dunbar, who wears many hats at the UT Southwestern and Dallas VA Medical Center, including section chief at the VA. She's a foregut and motility expert, so we're very grateful to hear her viewpoint today. We'll go ahead and get started because there's a lot of really practical information in this monograph about heartburn, nausea, and vomiting in pregnancy that will be very useful to our listeners. Dr. Dunbar, do you mind getting us started and telling us a bit about the hormonal changes in pregnancy that could contribute to nausea and vomiting?
Yeah, thank you for the invitation to talk with you today. I'm delighted to talk with you about heartburn, nausea, and vomiting during pregnancy. I was very happy to have the opportunity to work on this for the American College of Gastroenterology with my co-authors, Dr. Raina Yadlapati and Dr. Vani Khanda. All three of us are women who with expertise in esophageal disorders and upper GI disorders. To address your first question about the hormonal changes in pregnancy that contribute to nausea and vomiting, there are a number of things that happen during pregnancy that can lead to nausea and vomiting. As far as hormones, as human chorionic gonadotropin or HCG increases during pregnancy, higher levels of HCG lead to more nausea. So we see this in when someone has a multiparous pregnancy with twins or triplets, they tend to have higher levels of HCG and more nausea and vomiting. Estradiol levels are also associated with nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. When the estradiol levels are higher, that's when we tend to see more nausea and vomiting. There are some other factors that contribute to who has nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, which have to do with whether somebody has nausea and vomiting before pregnancy, like from other causes, younger age, multiple gestations. Women are pregnant people with a history of migraines or motion sickness are also a little more likely to have nausea and vomiting during pregnancy.
So it seems like a multifactorial process that can really contribute to that, as opposed to, I believe, kind of common viewpoint that this is all related to intra-abdominal pressure, which from my understanding from the monograph is actually not the major contributor.
Yes, that is not the major contributor to nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, since the majority of women pregnant will have nausea and vomiting in the first trimester, and often it is improving or resolving by 16 weeks. So usually at that point, there's not even that much an intra-abdominal pressure. As far as GERD during pregnancy, so heartburn, progesterone is the main culprit in development of GERD and heartburn during pregnancy because progesterone is a smooth muscle relaxer, and it relaxes the lower esophageal sphincter at the bottom of the esophagus, allowing more reflux.
Makes sense. So when you have a patient that comes to you for diagnostic evaluation, what are some key components that are part of your process?
Whether the patient I'm seeing has nausea and vomiting or heartburn symptoms, the medical history is really key in our patients who are pregnant. So, you know, is it heartburn? Are they having regurgitation? How often are they having heartburn and regurgitation, nausea and vomiting? How often is that occurring? Is it just in the morning? Is it all day? Are they waking up at night? And kind of the other associated symptoms, like are they getting dehydrated because they're having so much nausea and vomiting? Is there abdominal pain? Are there other fever or other GI symptoms that are going on during this time? Because if you have a patient who's got nausea and vomiting and they're losing weight, they're dehydrated, they have dry mucous membranes or orthostatic, or if they have abdominal pain on exam, those are pregnant patients that you need to have that need more evaluation and hopefully with consultation with their obstetrician, because there are a number of pregnancy associated disorders that you want to be on top of. And if you've got somebody who might have hyperemesis gravidarum, where they have severe nausea and vomiting or losing weight, sometimes there's a whole other algorithm for how to manage patients with severe nausea and vomiting during pregnancy.
Absolutely. And we're kind of getting to the point where the image that was in the monograph is really, really helpful. So for our listeners, I would suggest that you take a look at this excellent diagram that shows kind of the escalation of therapies, because we'll be referencing that as we go forward. So you kind of alluded to hyperemesis, but what are some other diseases that often mimic GERD?
So certainly heartburn is the most common, and, you know, because depending on what trimester you're in, you know, more than half of pregnant patients will have some heartburn. So it's, you know, kind of figuring out how to manage it. And we start with kind of diet and lifestyle optimization and then add acids and kind of go from there. You know, other things to keep, particularly in people who have abdominal pain, you wonder if they have peptic ulcer disease. If it's epigastric or right upper quadrant pain, it could be gallstones or biliary disease. If they're in their third trimester and they're having abdominal pain with new heartburn, then you start wondering, could this patient have preeclampsia? And you definitely want to be communicating with the obstetrician about this, because that's life-threatening. Those are just a few of the things to think about. There are also some of the liver diseases of pregnancy that will cause abdominal pain and nausea and vomiting that occur in the third trimester.
I can see that close communication with the obstetrician can really optimize therapy in these cases. Starting kind of at the most simple and most mild level of these symptoms for nausea and vomiting, and also for heartburn, what counseling do you provide women to help optimize diet and lifestyle?
With early pregnancy in particular, when many women have morning sickness or nausea and vomiting in pregnancy due to the hormone changes in the new pregnancy, you know, the key is, let's just eat. A diet doesn't have to be perfect, but let's get in the calories and figure out how to manage the nausea and vomiting. So some of the things that we do or recommend are small, more frequent meals, bland food, dry food, high protein foods. Now is not the time to try, you know, spicy foods sometimes bother people. Increasing liquid intake between meals, and then also minimizing the triggers. So if there are things that just look and smell gross, don't eat them. We'll save those for later, no matter how healthy they are. And sometimes being in crowded or hot areas can make people feel worse. Avoiding a bunch of like tight things on the abdomen, because sometimes that will contribute during this early stage of pregnancy. And those are the main things. For heartburn, it's, again, small, more frequent meals. Giant meals will give just about anybody heartburn. And when you've got increased abdominal pressure from a pregnancy, sometimes that, and a relaxed lower esophageal sphincter from the progesterone, a really giant meal is going to trigger heartburn. For GERD, foods with a lot of fat and carbonated beverages can trigger heartburn. And then some people are sensitive to certain foods. Like, some people can eat a lot of spicy food and never have heartburn. Other people, you know, look at a spicy taco and start having heartburn pretty quickly. So they're kind of individual food triggers that people have to identify for themselves. We, of course, recommend no alcohol and nicotine, which is a great general recommendation for anyone who's pregnant. And then also for reflux in particular, to eat while being upright is helpful, and to stay upright for 3 hours after you eat, because if you lay down with a full stomach, you may have some nighttime heartburn. And in some cases, we can raise the head of the bed or tilt it a little bit to reduce reflux.
So it sounds like, you know, all of the normal heartburn precautions apply, but then also giving women the freedom to choose meals that are appetizing to them, and not, you know, taking off that pressure to try to eat what's healthy and what they feel would be helpful for the baby, but really just trying to eat whatever they can tolerate in small quantities.
Yes. So, I mean, certainly if somebody is not having nausea and vomiting, eat as healthy as you can. But the important thing is to get some calories and then to work in other things later as the nausea starts to settle down.
My next question is about pharmacotherapy. So when lifestyle modifications and dietary changes are not enough, what are the first things that you reach for in pregnancy?
For heartburn, a lot of times it's antacids. And so magnesium-containing antacids or calcium-containing antacids. Ones with baking soda, you have to like look at those, because some of them have aspirin in it, and that's needs to be discussed with the obstetrician. But generally, the magnesium and calcium and containing antacids are fine. There's a medication called sucralfate, which is a mucosal protectant that has been shown, at least in one randomized controlled trial of pregnant patients, to help with heartburn symptoms. And then the histamine 2 receptor antagonists are also kind of widely accepted and used in heartburn, with the next step being proton pump inhibitors, all which in large observational studies have been shown to be safe, but we kind of have an escalating treatment algorithm for heartburn. For nausea and vomiting, there are a number of different options as far as medications. For patients who want to pursue non-pharmacotherapy, but like kind of vitamins, there's vitamin B6 and ginger, which can help nausea and vomiting. I've seen people use motion sickness wristbands, which may help some people at least some of the time. Doxylamine is a histamine 2 receptor antagonist that's been around for a long time, and that is approved for nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. And then there are other antiemetics that can be used to help control the nausea and vomiting and allow oral intake and hydration.
In your personal practice experience, what are kind of your favorites, especially for nausea and vomiting in pregnancy?
So there are a number of different things. So there are people who've been using metoclopramide for a long time. That medication's been around a long time, and for short-term use, it's fine. Diphenhydramine and diphenhydramine can be helpful. Promethazine is another one. So there are a number of different things. It just sort of depends on the discussion with the obstetrician and the patient about what's going to work for them.
Just so that listeners aren't always, you know, too honed into this diagnosis of GERD or nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, what are some red flag symptoms or signs that make you concerned about an alternate diagnosis?
So epigastric pain is definitely one, because really heartburn, you should feel it up in the chest or feel regurgitation with movement of food up into the chest and into the esophagus and burning. If someone is having epigastric pain, particularly if you can palpate the abdomen and they're having pain, that's a red flag. That makes me wonder if they've got peptic ulcer disease or gallbladder or biliary disease or something else that we need to involve the obstetrician with. If they are getting dehydrated or have dry mucous membranes or just vomiting a lot, then I worry that they have hyperemesis gravidarum. Usually our patients are pretty hooked in with their obstetrician, but that's something to watch out for.
Thanks for highlighting all of these specific exam findings and then also suggestions for therapy for all of our listeners today. This was really helpful, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.